From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, June 18th, 2026. State election officials are still verifying vote totals in preparation for ranked choice runoffs that will decide primary winners in the race for Maine governor and the 2nd congressional district. That process has stretched into its ninth day since last week's primary election. State election officials hope to run the ranked choice runoff tonight, but are unsure of when exactly that'll happen. At stake are the Democratic and Republican nominations for governor and the Democratic nominee for the 2nd district. In the governor's race, Bobby Charles had a significant lead over the other Republicans after the initial count. Democrat Nirav Shah, meanwhile, had a narrower advantage with three candidates within striking distance. Those are Hannah Pingree, Troy Jackson, and Shenna Bellows. This is the first time since the ranked choice voting system was approved by referendum that three statewide or congressional primary races have gone to runoffs. Independent Senator Angus King says the deal to end the war with Iran leaves the U.S. with a big tax bill while Iran reaps the benefits. King says a $300 billion fund from U.S. allies in the Gulf that will be dedicated to helping Iran rebuild is just another expense in a war he calls illegal and unjustified.
We certainly didn't get much in this deal, and we certainly didn't get anything close to justifying the expense in American lives, civilians killed, costs to the American taxpayers.
King says the Iran nuclear deal signed under former President Barack Obama in 2015, which the Trump administration abandoned 3 years later, included inspections to ensure Iran would not build a nuclear weapon. Trump's deal, King says, relies only on Iran's promises. Three hospitals in Maine have received warnings from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services for failing to comply with price transparency requirements. They're among more than 500 hospitals across the U.S. to be notified, according to a list obtained by the Associated Press. The three hospitals in Maine say the issues are technical. In Lewiston, for example, a spokesperson for St. Mary's Regional Medical Center says its posted prices are accurate, but the hospital will change formatting to make the information more consumer-friendly. Two wind projects in the Gulf of Maine will be abandoned in exchange for a federal payout of $765 million to build fossil fuel generators. As Peter McGuire reports, critics say it's the third such deal the Trump administration has made to hobble ocean wind power.
In exchange for federal funds, energy giant Invenergy will terminate four wind power leases, including two off the coast of Massachusetts. The Department of Interior says Invenergy will instead build natural gas power plants in Midwest states and pursue a geothermal project in the West. The company says it can develop those generators faster and get more electricity on the grid. The deal follows two other federal offshore wind payouts to energy companies. Critics say the arrangements are illegal and will increase dependence on expensive imported fuels. Invenergy bought the Gulf of Maine leases for less than $11 million 2 years ago. Maine has seen floating offshore wind as a pathway to meet economic development and clean energy goals. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The man charged with the murder of a group home worker in Portland last month has been found not competent to stand trial, but Armando Javier Negrete may stand trial at a later date. Negrete was a resident of a group home operated by Shalom House when he allegedly stabbed a staff member in early May. What has 12 legs, 10 eyes, and one tail? It's not a creature from science fiction. It's the horseshoe crab, a so-called living fossil that some scientists say is now threatened with extinction. And that's at the center of a lawsuit alleging the federal government has so far failed to include them for protection under the Endangered Species Act. Patty White recently tagged along with citizen scientists who are monitoring the Atlantic horseshoe crab along the Maine coast.
The salty ocean waters are warming along the shore in Great Salt Bay, and love is in the air.
And there is a horseshoe crab, for lack of a better word, orgy that occurs every year at this time where they're mating.
Sharon Morrill is a volunteer with the Coastal Rivers Conservation Trust in Damariscotta. She's part of a small group that monitors horseshoe crabs at two sites every day at high tide during their spawning season from mid-April to mid-June. Today, she's joined by her sister, Lynn Bernier, who's also a volunteer. They're both dressed in waders, and the rounded toe of their boots is not unlike the shape of a horseshoe crab, which looks like an upside-down bowl with a tail. When Morrell sees my polka dot rain boots, she issues a warning.
You have very attractive boots on, so don't be surprised if they think you're female and they're on your boots. This happens too.
They make their way to the shore, where they first measure water temperature and salinity.
Okay.
Horseshoe crabs, which, by the way, aren't crabs. They're closer to spiders, ticks, and scorpions, prefer warm, salty water for spawning. Next, Morrell and Bernier wade through knee-deep water to begin counting.
We've got one single, one double, and we're going to walk this way.
Morrell is careful not to disturb mating doubles, but she sees a single crab that's dead and picks it up and turns it over.
Now, this is a male. They have, like, boxing gloves.
It's a pair of small, bulbous legs that males use to clasp onto females so they can fertilize the thousands of tiny eggs she'll lay.
Boxing gloves are so apropos when we get to a live one. Like, they are frisky, feisty, these males.
We're guessing they're teenagers. These horseshoe crabs have probably been coming to these sites as they exist for about the past 4,000 years.
Sarah Gladue oversees the Horseshoe Crab Monitoring Program for Coastal Rivers Conservation Trust. She says 20 years of data collected by volunteers has revealed that this population appears to behave differently than horseshoe crabs found further to the south.
Their spawning seems to be triggered by temperature more so than by the full moon or the high tide stage and so forth that sometimes is seen in other places in the world.
As to whether the population is decreasing, Gladue says their small, scrappy nonprofit hasn't been able to do a full analysis to know for sure. But down east, where the Friends of Taunton Bay have been monitoring horseshoe crabs for nearly three decades, the data show a clear trend.
The decline was gentle for a while and then somewhat precipitous.
The group's Frank Dorsey says they used to find more than 100 a day, but the number dropped by more than half with the arrival of invasive green crabs, which eat horseshoe crabs' eggs and can destroy eelgrass habitat. Dorsey says the numbers have somewhat rebounded, but he supports a lawsuit filed by the Center for Biological Diversity that seeks protection for the crabs under the Endangered Species Act.
The main thrust of it will be to stop the harvest of horseshoe crabs for their blood.
Their blood has a unique clotting agent that's used for drug safety testing, despite synthetic alternatives. Horseshoe crabs aren't harvested in Maine, but the center argues in its lawsuit that the biomedical harvest in the U.S. has doubled over the past 7 years, and the Atlantic horseshoe crab population is facing additional pressure due to development, pollution, erosion, and climate change. The lawsuit specifically notes that the population in the Gulf of Maine may be in danger of extinction or will be in the foreseeable future. Back in Damariscotta Mills, Sharon Morrell is in the middle of her count when she makes an exciting discovery.
Oh, I hear him over here. Oh, look, look! We have a pile of horseshoe crabs. There's the double, the pair that are mating. There are other crabs mounting them, circling around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other ones trying to get in on the action.
If you get close enough, you can even hear the crabs crawling on top of each other.
Sometimes it's like a conga line, sometimes it's like a scrum in rugby.
Male horseshoe crabs do form lines behind a female, sometimes as many as 7, says Sarah Gladue. It's unclear why, she says, and that's another reason to keep monitoring them. Because even though they've roamed the Earth for hundreds of millions of years, there's still a lot we don't know about them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Jump in the line, rock your body in time.
In its first World Cup match in over 50 years, the Democratic Republic of the Congo yesterday fought the much higher-ranked Portuguese national team to a draw. For Maine's Congolese community, the surprisingly strong showing triggered an explosion of joy and pride, as I got to see firsthand at a watch party in Portland. Over 100 Congolese faithful are on their feet for the national anthem at Aura Sports Grill downtown. The crowd buzzes with anticipation, but for much of the first half, fans of the Leopards, as the Congolese team is known, don't have much to cheer about. Portugal scores in the 6th minute and dominates possession of the ball after that. Then, moments before the half, the Congo's Arthur Masuaka lofts a cross pass in front of the net. Striker Yohan Wiese goes up for a header and... pandemonium as the Leopards score their first goal in World Cup history. In the joyous mayhem, fans burst into spontaneous song and pour out onto the street.
Ain't nothing like it, man. We haven't been in a World Cup for like 52 years. So this is amazing.
Daryl Masella is on the street waving a Congolese flag.
These guys thought they had us by scoring the first goal, but we're just showing them that it's only a matter of time.
Sam Kalau has come down from Auburn for the watch party.
I wanted to be with my people. This is a representation of Congo in America. So that's what I'm here for.
As shocking as the goal was, Kalau says he could feel it coming, based on a dream he had a few nights before in which Congo won the match outright. Dancing in the street, nearly everyone decked out head to toe in the blue, red, and yellow of the Congolese flag, Kalau says he feels transported, far from this corner of North America where so many of his countrymen have put down roots.
So it's just like I'm home right now, you know? Siblings out here, all of them families, uncles, grandpa, sisters, brothers, all of them here at the same place, all together.
Event organizer Papi Bongibo says getting everyone together in the same place like this isn't as easy as it used to be.
Some people really wanted to make it, but with the immigration situation, they cannot make it.
The Congolese community has been one of the hardest hit in the state by President Trump's mass deportation push. According to the Deportation Data Project, ICE has arrested at least 53 Congolese residents in Maine since the beginning of Trump's second term. The actual number is likely higher because the most recent data haven't been updated since March. For Bongibo, that makes today even more meaningful.
Oh, it's a joy. Regardless of the immigration thing, we are here. We love Maine. We love the United States, and we are here to stay.
Sitting at the bar, Odavia Milolo says in French that the new reality of immigration enforcement wasn't going to stop her from cheering on her team.
ICE fait venir à tout moment, mais nous sommes là, on assume, c'est la vie, donc on n'a pas le choix.
ICE can show up at any point, she says, but we're here, we're dealing with it. That's life. And today, life is soccer, and things are looking up. At the final whistle, the Leopards have held Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo and the rest of the squad to a 1-1 draw. For Clement Kalamba Moyes of Portland, that's as good as a win and a moment of overwhelming pride in what it means to be Congolese both on and off the pitch.
We dress good, we know how to play soccer, we know how to do everything. So for me, we already win the World Cup. I'm good, we already win the World Cup.
DR Congo will next take the field on Tuesday against Colombia. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, documenting slavery and abolition. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.